Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Lead Singer Syndrome with Shane Told. That's me. I'm your host, as always, as I take you into the backstage and not so backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. And I know it's been a minute. I know I've taken a bit of a hiatus, still doing The New Noise with Mike every week, talking about the new tunes and obviously really enjoying that. But I took a little break, decided I needed to, you know, kind of revamp a couple things and take a little time for myself. And it feels great to be back and to be back with a returning guest, a good pal. One of my favorites, just such a nice guy, Chris Laporto of Can't Swim. Can't Swim has a fantastic new album, Thanks But No Thanks, which is out now on Pure Noise Records. This is, I think, their best record. Chris maybe downplays it a little bit. He's like, I'm not saying it's our best. No, it's your best. Some great singles, some great videos, and a lot of fun. Catch Can't Swim on tour right now with Free Throw all over the US of A. Before we get into that talk with Chris, a couple little orders of business. I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with me. You can send me an email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read them all, and I try to write back to as many as I can as well. If you've got suggestions for future guests of the show, or you want to give me some life advice, whatever it is, feel free to hit me up. Also, if you want to support the show, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And for as little as $6 a month, that gets you in. That gets you to be a part of the community and gets you other bonus content, bonus episodes, and other goodies as well. Also, we've got an awesome sponsor of the podcast, of the New Noise, but also, you know, of the main show as well, because we're all friends here. Open Your Ears Records. They are a new-ish label straight out of Richmond, Virginia, putting out some awesome, awesome, awesome punk bands, emo bands, I don't know, alternative. They're doing all kinds of really, really, really cool stuff, really quality music. Adam over there is just, he's putting like his life savings and his life's work into this label, and it really shows with some of these releases. So head over to OYERECS.com, and check out everything they got going on there. Guardrail, House and Home, so much good stuff. So make sure you are in tune with that as well. Anyway, I'm going to keep this intro short. And here it is, my conversation with Chris Laporto of Can't Swim.
Hello,
Chris. What's up, man?
My friend, how you doing?
Dude, fantastic. This is awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Dude, anytime, man. Happy to do it.
I was looking back at some old notes and whatever, and the last time we did this podcast was 4.5 years ago.
Dude.
Can you fucking believe that?
That is depressing, but also endearing in some way.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I think when we talked last, you were putting out your sophomore record and, you know, it was weird. It was like you guys were still on this kind of like, or you, I should say, were still on this like, are we like a real band? Are we going to be doing this a long time? You know, like maybe this just last a couple records and then I don't know what I'll do after. But it's safe to say, you know, you've cemented like a pretty cool fan base and, you know, like you've done a lot of awesome stuff. And the new record, Thanks But No Thanks, is out. Well, in 2 days, but when people hear this, it will be out everywhere.
That's right. Yeah, insane. I remember our conversation vividly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I still ask myself those same questions. Are we a real band? Am I quitting next week? but yeah, a lot of cool stuff, man. A lot, it's taken us around the world. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew because the first record, the songs were awesome and you followed it up with a great record. You've taken, you know, quite a journey musically. And I feel like this record is a bit of a return in a way. It's interesting, you know, like I had a chance to listen to the record a couple times all the way through. It's a short record, so that didn't take me too long. but I think what's really interesting about it, it has a weird duality to me where it seems like in a lot of ways you're embracing the fun side of Can't Swim and your own personalities a little bit more. It kind of like, you know, like I've toured with you guys, so I kind of know what you guys are like. But then I read the lyrics and pretty dark.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I'm actually pretty glad and almost, yeah, excited that you mentioned that because that was somewhat of like a goal. Usually we go into the studio and just try not to fall over our own feet, but
right. We
were pretty determined to kind of do exactly what you just said. I think our previous release and hell, even the last two or three previous releases, though we're very proud of them and I think they came out great. It definitely didn't feel like us, like even when the translating them live, always just felt like, you know, a little out of place, like we were kind of maybe wearing a costume or something. But yeah, one of the things we were adamant about doing is, yeah, kind of getting back to what we know best and what we feel most comfortable with. And I think, like you said, that's like the perfect term, like the duality of, I think that's always been our band's like MO is that, yeah, like it can be fun and it doesn't have to be all these smoke and mirrors on stage. But the songs, you know, are very personal to me. They're very like, you know, close events that have happened to me in my life. So, you know, it can be fun, but you know, the content is still, important to keep in a serious manner. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when it comes time to make a music video, such as your music video for your single Nowhere Ohio, which is great, by the way, for people that haven't seen it, I highly recommend you check it out. Basically, it starts with a video store and a guy finds a VHS tape from 1997 and puts it in his little TV. And it's you guys doing very 90s things, mostly rollerblading.
Yes.
Now, you know, the duality again of making this ridiculous, very funny and entertaining video, but the lyrical content, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, what goes through your head when, like, you come up with this video treatment or a director does or the label does? Like, how do all these moving parts work to make that happen? And, you know, what's the like overall, I guess, feeling when you have this done and you're like, okay, so I wrote this song and obviously like kind of a dark time, but the video reflecting it is the complete opposite.
So So we are completely to blame for all this confusion. Actually, we recorded the record ourselves. We've actually been shooting all the music videos and directing them ourselves like crazy people. But I think that is like kind of always been our goal, is that, you know, I think we always shied away from bands growing up that, I don't know, quote unquote, took themselves too seriously or, you know, presented themselves higher than the fan base. I don't think we ever wanted to do that with our band. We always wanted to feel like, you know, the dudes who jam at your neighbor's house and you complain, and, you know, just these normal guys. Lyrically, it's been a struggle for me to present my songs that way. I don't think I ever really want to make the songs a joke or even lighthearted. You know, I think I have a lot of serious topics that I want to get off my chest. So yeah, it is funny. You're actually making me realize like how, if you were to read along to a lot of the lyrics, you would be like, oh, I thought this song was about, you know, pizza and skateboarding.
Totally.
I guess that's what we've always kind of gone for. You know, like if you dig your teeth in, you can, you know, maybe relate to the lyrics on a serious level. But if you want music to be pop punk and fun and come to a show and have a good time, I think the artwork and the videos and even our live show would, you know, be more catered towards that type of mood rather than the dark, serious nature of the lyrics.
Totally. And I mean, you guys are kind of in a class of your own in a lot of ways. It just in the fact that, you know, you say, okay, maybe we're a pop punk band. Maybe we make videos that a pop punk band would make. But then, you know, musically and stuff, you guys are kind of different. Do you ever find it's kind of hard to find sort of a lane where you're kind of fitting in with bands, especially when it comes to touring? You know, I know you guys are got some shows come up with Free Throw, which, you know, makes some sense, but also you toured with us, which also makes some sense. But what you know, is it difficult to kind of find that perfect tour or that kind of like when people are like, well, what does your band sound like? What do you say? You know, I feel like that's difficult for you guys.
Oh, it has been the bane of my existence for 7 years.
Well, I'm like, sorry to bring it up.
No. I love it. I think it's like 50-50, right? Like sometimes it is quite bothersome when you have to describe your music to somebody. And also, right, like you brought up finding tours and finding the right lane to go down. But I also think we pride ourselves on it. You know, I think we kind of like being the kind of chameleon of the scene. I think it's actually finally catching on. I think people are now like almost expecting each record to be a little bit different. And so, which is cool. I mean, it's a challenge because it's hard to write a song, and it's also, you know, makes it more difficult to write a song that doesn't sound like your other songs. And I think that's kind of been what we've been trying to do. It also gives me a chance to tour with a bunch of different bands and meet a bunch of different people, which is great. You know, growing up, I played in a bunch of hardcore bands. Yep. And you play with a bunch of hardcore bands. You know, it's right, like you said, it's nice to play with your band, Free Throw, and Plot and You. You know, all three completely different sounding bands. But yeah, it can be quite confusing sometimes when you're trying to book a tour or even make like the artwork. You know, sometimes we're just like, oh, is this to this or is this to that? And but like I said, it makes it interesting, makes it fun.
Yeah, well, we talked in the last interview 4.5 years ago, as I recall, quite a bit about your upbringing. So we don't need to get into that as much this time. People can go back and listen to the old episode if they want more on Chris's background. But you were like 12 years old playing in hardcore bands, playing drums, right?
That's right.
What I remember. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was playing drums all the way until Can't Swim. And then here we go. Now, what'd you say? 4.5 years later, still singing.
Are you playing? I mean, obviously as a drummer and a songwriter, I assume you're either playing drums on the records or quite the guide, telling whoever's playing drums on what to do. How's that work as a former drummer turned frontman?
Totally. Yeah. It's been lovely to kind of shoo the homework onto other people. Like I demo the songs myself and I play the drums on the demo, but Blake, our current drummer, is 50 times better than me on the drums, and he tracked everything. But yeah, it's pretty collaborative. I think drums are almost like the funnest instrument to be collaborating on, because we were both all just sitting in a room, and Danny, our guitar player, as you know him, is a fantastic drummer as well. So it's basically three drummers writing kick and snare patterns for the Can't Swim records, and it's a blast. Yeah, nothing. You would think when I just said that, it was like, oh wow, that sounds like you want to fight each other, but it actually never turns into that.
That's good. No, because I mean, as I know, and I've made a lot of records too, and drums can be tough. I mean,
sure.
With things like patterns, like for kick patterns or stuff, or even just what kind of fill you want, or how long the fill is supposed to be, or like how many cymbals are you hitting? which for me, just all the time, just as many cymbals as possible is good for
me. Hit them all at the same time.
But no, I imagine that could be stressful, but seems like that's part of you guys being comfortable with what you do and just kind of trusting each other, which is really nice to see, because you don't always get that with bands.
No. Yeah. I'm very, I feel very blessed to have these guys. And making records is always a blast, not a stressful mess. So it's been great.
You actually record drums when you do demos? Like, do you have a drum kit that you play, or do you like do it on MIDI?
I have an electronic drum set that
you do?
Program. Oh. At the MIDI out. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah.
So, back to the record for a second. Thanks, but no thanks. Let's talk about the title of this album. I read in your bio, you were saying that it's kind of like going back to all the people that have given you advice over the years and your kind of retort to them. Is that kind of that you guys have done kind of your own thing and done things the way you've wanted to do? And follow-up question, what is the worst advice anyone has ever given you? And you don't have to tell me who it was, but you can if you want.
Okay, I like this. I'll answer the first question. Yes, exactly. You nailed it on the head. I think we've always been pretty true to ourselves, but like I said, the last previous record and the last couple of things we did, it started to slip away a little bit. I think we were all kind of feeling a little goofy on some of the decisions that we kind of got led into. And I think this record, like you said, is kind of a return to home. So it made a lot of sense to name it that for this one, especially because I think it feels the most Can't Swim yet, which is crazy to say after all these years. But
yeah,
I think it took us kind of going down the wrong path to finally see what the right path is. And it even surprised me. Like, even when I was listening to the final mixes, I was just like, yeah, like we did it. Like, I actually do feel the most comfortable and the most familiar with this record than any other one. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's nice to just, set yourself up for a goal. And when you accomplish it, I'm not saying it's the best record, I'm not saying it's the best songs, whatever, but I think we're very adamant about making it the most Can't Swim. And I think we succeeded. And then I'm trying to sift through the plethora of all the
plethora of horrible, horrible takes you've been given. Yes. Jeez, absolutely.
What can I say here? Maybe some sort of outfit, fashion.
Oh yeah.
You know, you ever hear like, oh, you should do this with your hair. Maybe you should wear different jeans. Yeah. I might have to email you. I got to think. It's been a good amount. Let's say that.
If you email me at the end of the episode, I'll put in some, I'll quote you on some of the,
put it in the
very
liner
bad advice.
Yeah.
The thanks, but no thanks, where this all stems from.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, another thing about you and this record especially is your voice is all over this thing. You are the lead singer of the band. This is a lead singer podcast.
Yes, yes.
Now, you have a very distinctive, very unique voice, which gives, your band part of your sound. Now, some people are very self-conscious about it. I know, like, kind of 4.5 years ago when we talked and you're like, I don't know, I'm a drummer and I made some demos and Jake from Pure Noise got a hold of them and here I am. But now that you've, been on the road for years and years, You kind of come into your own as a singer. How do you feel? Do you still feel like at all self-conscious about the sound of your voice, or is this something you've kind of learned to embrace and maybe even enjoy that you don't just sound like everyone else?
Yeah, a combination of an answer. I think I still don't feel confident in my singing ability, but I definitely enjoy singing more than I ever thought. And I guess kind of how you just worded it, like, I think I've learned to embrace the uniqueness as goofy as that sounds coming from me. But I understand that a lot of the bands that I grew up listening to, they couldn't sing. They weren't good singers. They weren't trained singers. But like, you know, their certain vibe or charisma or however they presented their vocal is what made me fall in love with it. Like when I was, you know, I didn't even know if half the people that I loved were singing in key. Like it didn't matter. It was just kind of like, you know, it's like having a conversation with somebody. And, it, you know, you don't have to be the most articulate person to, you know, have a an insightful conversation. And I think music is the same way. And also, I think we were going back very adamant about presenting my voice on this record the way I naturally do it. Like I would sing something and Danny would be like, oh, like you can't really pull off that run very well. Just do it how it would come naturally to you. And I would do it and it would be, you know, and so, yeah, I definitely think I was a wreck when we talked 4.5 years ago of like, being in my head of, oh, I'm kind of, you know, I'm singing out of key there, or, you know, I'm getting winded at certain parts. I don't think about that stuff at all anymore. Yeah, it's like, we were on tour together. Yeah, I'm just having a blast up there. I'm making jokes. Like, yeah, it's not, I don't feel like I'm an opera singer in any regard. I'm trying to perform as a member of the band. It, you know, singing is an afterthought. If it's in key, that's fantastic. But the presentation is what's most important.
There you go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And you were erect 4.5 years ago, not erect when we talked, right?
Yeah, that would that we can talk about that on another podcast.
when you said that, I was like, did he just say erect? Okay, I misheard for a second. My mind's in the fucking gutter. Okay,
were certainly simultaneously true.
I may be able to salvage this. Yes. Absolutely. I think, listening to this record, you know, through a couple of times, I really do think you sound awesome and the production all works.
Thanks, man.
How did it work with, the songwriting process and how many songs you had, how many ideas you had? You know, it's a 10 song record. I don't know what it clocks into, but it's pretty short. Was this kind of all you had, or was there stuff that you're saving or didn't work with the record, or how does that work with your writing process? Cause you know, some bands like, nope, this is the record we wrote is 10 songs. And other bands are like, we wrote 50 songs. So I wonder where you kind of stand.
So this one actually, I'd have to ask my band, but I actually think this was like the most demos I presented. There was a ton of them. I'm going to say closer to like 20, maybe like 18, because this was kind of coming off of COVID. I had a ton of demos in the vault, you know?
Yep.
But I also will say this record, the demos changed the most. Sometimes I send Danny 10 demos, right? And 8 of them sound pretty darn close to the final recording. There was like 6 or 7 of these that are like completely unrecognizable. It was like the same story, the same lyrical content, and maybe the same kind of like melodic patterns going on, but the music and the vibe and the tone was completely changed in the studio together. And then like, you know, 8 of them, Danny was just like, I don't think we can salvage these if we want to kind of stick true to this, you know, this kind of original Can't Swim sound. So there was a ton. The first week in the studio was basically just throwing things into the trash bin on Danny's laptop. It was just like, this demo's not going to work. You know, this one will. Maybe we can make it a major progression here. But yeah, I think that was pretty much the summary of how it went down. Some records didn't end up that way, but this one definitely was a lot of trial and error. And a few songs stayed. Heard They Found You Face Down was almost exact. The last song, the title track, was also almost exactly from the demo, but the other 8 were completely facelifted and shifted.
Yeah, and the video for I Heard They Found You is quite interesting. It almost gave me like a Tool. I don't know if you ever like Tool Sober, that video from the 90s. It almost gave me that kind of a vibe. What went into that? Was that someone... did that work for you guys or who commissioned that?
That was actually through Pure Noise. He had done stuff for their other bands. He did a couple things for that band Pup. And I think that, I can't really take much credit for that. I think Jake from Pure Noise thought it'd be cool. Like, it fit the vibe of the song. It's very serious. And we kind of also were like, I don't know if we should be in this one because it will just come off like,
right.
I think it would take away from, you know, the severity and like the importance of the lyrics. So we kind of wanted to do something a little more artistic. And that dude, he lives in England somewhere and he just messes around with clay and is off time. And that's how the video came out.
I personally love not being in my own music videos. That's
the best.
Yes.
It's the best one.
Wait, we have a video done and I didn't have to do anything. Worry about what I have to fucking wear or where I have to be or sing the same song like millions of times. Oh God. Videos. You know, I will say, probably making music videos for me is probably my least favorite thing about being in a band, I would say.
I think the four of us would agree with that. But I will say, though it is more work, these 2 or 3 that we did for this record was pretty fun because we did them. It was stressful, don't get me wrong, but you know, you can kind of make it your own, kind of make it like, you know, it's like you're writing a song. But yeah, I would definitely say it's like recording music, touring, making music videos. That's the order.
Yes. Yes. A distant third for me. Distant, but anyway. Third. Absolutely. What else? Oh, the album artwork is interesting too. You got a picture of you guys on the cover.
Yep.
And kind of this collage-y thing. What's the story behind that? Is that have much to do with the theme of the record? Is it who commissioned that, or did you guys do that yourself as well?
No, it's a dude, basically a guy I grew up with. I actually played in bands with him, a New Jersey hardcore kind of guy that I always admired his musical working. His name's Steve, and he's also an incredible artist. I called him out of the blue. I haven't talked to him in a long time. I was like, hey, man, I got this idea. I kind of want to make it, a collage of all these like New Jersey things. So we're standing in front of this like clown. They coined it the evil clown of Middletown, New Jersey. It's kind of a, it's been there since like 1920. And actually, I think it's a national landmark, so they can't tear it down, even though it's like so decrepit and probably like, an eyesore to most people passing it. Very close to where we all grew up. I thought it would be cool. We kind of photoshopped it to say thanks, but no thanks. The other images, it's like our old van. It's like photos from throughout the years. And yeah, I think Steve did a great job. It's kind of like a, 70s kind of retro looking collage. And I think we also wanted it to stand out from the other album covers. Some are very serious. And I think this one, is pretty unique for the stuff that we've done in the past. And yeah, I think it came out great.
Cool. Yeah. I like the vibe too. So are you a Devils fan, Rangers fan, Flyers fan, not a hockey fan?
So my lady is Canadian.
Of course. Yeah. What's up, Paige? Yeah, yes.
Like your handsome self. I wish I could say I knew more about it, but I guess I'm just a Maple Leafs fan now.
Oh, perfect. That works for me.
Well, okay, great.
It's funny because the reason I ask you is the Devils actually are using one of our songs for their their intro, like when they go on the ice, like video. So they invited us. They invited us to the game and gave us a box.
What?
And yeah, it was pretty sweet. So I just wondered if you were a Devils fan because they're having a really, really great season.
Yeah. Maple Leafs, baby, till I die.
I love it. Yes. They're also having a great season. Sorry.
Awesome.
The Middletown, New Jersey talk made me think of the glorious New Jersey Devils. So you got this tour coming up. You are starting it on Friday. So you'll be on tour.
That's right.
With Free Throw. What goes into a tour prep for you guys? You guys just kind of get in the van, get going, or maybe a van wagon. I don't know what you guys are touring in. Do you guys do a lot of rehearsals? Do you try to change your set list up every tour? Is this like the kind of thing where all the band, you have to practice a lot for these new songs because you never really played them as a unit?
Yeah.
What kind of goes into that tour prep when you're going to do this support tour?
So honestly, we have one day of rehearsal and we just started 20 minutes ago and I've been talking to you the whole time. So it's been great. it's been a great practice for me. I can hear them in the distance. They're giving it all they got. We're all pretty equipped with like home studios and the four of us live in completely different areas of the world. Paige and I are living in San Diego. Our drummer Blake lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Greg is keeping it down in New Jersey at headquarters. And Danny lives in Milton Keynes, England.
Right.
So it's all over the place. A lot of the practice, quote unquote, is done remotely. We send each other the Ableton sessions and we kind of do our homework before we get into the room. So basically we're going to jam for 3 or 4 hours today and then we hit the road.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you are in, the tour starts in, is it Buffalo?
I think I saw.
So you guys are in Jersey now?
Yeah, we're at Greg's and we just jam at his.
Cool.
And yeah, but to answer your question, we got three or four, depending on the night.
Yep.
On the newest record, we're doing a song off our first EP that we haven't played in a really long time. So, you know, kind of just dusting the cobwebs off of those. But other than that, get in the van and get going. No bandwagon, little 15 passenger boy with a trailer.
There you go.
Hitting the road.
I love it. And vocally, do you have to do a lot of prep or does your voice hold up, you know, pretty well on tour?
I probably should. But no, I've gotten a lot better. Danny, like I said, he actually does vocal lessons. He's very knowledgeable. He gives me tips. I do a couple warm-ups, drink a little tea, ready to go.
Okay. I love it. Well, I won't keep you too much longer.
No. I'm loving it.
You gotta be the guy. I can't be the guy, like, you know, holding up your band practice. That's just weird.
That's right.
So I read something in your bio that really stuck to me. It's a quote, and I'm gonna read it back to you. I know you know it because it's in your bio, but for the people.
Sure.
You say this: my dad once told me, even if I won the lottery, nothing I could ever buy would mean as much as what you have with this band, Loporto says. That's you. To look out in the crowd and see people with can't swim tattoos blows my mind. That's why I never understand when bands get so wrapped up in numbers and how they can get bigger. I was a garbage man in Jersey City when I was 23, and now I'm supposed to be bummed we only hit 200,000 monthly listeners? Come on, to have anyone care is enough. And there's a lot of cool things there. I mean, the idea that you can't buy you can't buy this, right? This is something that you have and you grow and you work on, and it gets to a place that's, a lot of it's out of your control. That is a really kind of an interesting thing. It's very well put from your father. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I was going through a rough patch. We were not really picking up and a tour went bad. The van broke down, whatever it was. And I flew down to Florida and I was talking to him. And yeah, he said like, hey man, you know, I know we didn't have much growing up. Like I wasn't a rich man, but even if I was, nothing I could do financially would be able to get you what you have with this. And he was like, I can't really think of anything else that you can't kind of buy. Like, if you are incredibly wealthy, you can buy fun, you can buy comfort, you can buy, you know, any type of emotion, you know, and it really opened my mind to it. And it really made me thankful. And yeah, still to this day, I think about it when, yes, I'm complaining or, you know, today we shot a music video. And I drove from Ohio last night, 12 hours, because I had to get the van. And then Danny's like, okay, we're shooting at 4 a.m. So I slept for an hour. And, you know, of course, I'm going to be a little groggy. And it's always nice to kind of throw that in the back of my mind where it's just like,
right,
yeah, but it's worth it. You know, this is worth it. It's such a blessing that, and art in general, so many people, you know, so many people want to do art. So many people want to take something that they've created and share it with someone. And it's a very difficult goal to achieve when everybody's trying to achieve it. And, you know, Can't Swim does not make me millions of dollars, but it fills me with such gratitude. And it's filled my life with such experience, which is something that also is very difficult to buy. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, I think it's easy now with the internet and TikTok and all the stuff to, you know, you see your failures and you see your progression. It's right there. It's this many listeners. It's this many albums sold, whatever. And it's so easy to let it bum you out if it goes down or if it doesn't increase as much as you thought. But, you know, you're talking about the dream slightly decreasing. Like, it's still the dream. It's great. You know, it's making art with your best buds. Like, you know,
Exactly.
And we're not spring chickens anymore. I'm 30 something years old, but I think I feel younger than ever. I feel more blessed to do this than ever before. So I can't.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't thank him enough for talking me off the ledge with that silly saying that's been 5 years. Yeah.
Well, 298,356 monthly listeners there.
Oh, geez.
In case you're wondering. So almost 300,000.
Okay. Here we go.
Almost though, man. Not quite there. Almost.
I know. All right.
Almost there.
4.5 years, you can call me again. Maybe I'll hit 300.
Yeah. Exactly. No, you might need, I don't know, some like just slightly tighter pants or something to get over that threshold. There's something there, right? Something.
It's got to be there.
Some advice, some label guy or manager will give you, you know.
Throw my hair out.
Do you guys have a manager?
No. We are also doing it ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I always thought it was funny. We our drummer's our manager.
Yeah.
Silverstein. And we had some managers over the years, but I always thought some of the funniest people, like just cheeseball fucking industry, you know, I don't want to say scumbags, but probably that too. Some of the just funniest like meetings you'd meet, like manager meetings, and we'd take them mostly because we knew we could get a free lunch out of
free
it.
Free food.
So, you know, we'd meet with these guys and some of the things they would say, like the advice they'd give us was just hilarious. Like just, they just have no idea, you know, the world we come from or whatever, but,
totally.
Man, free lettuce wraps at Chili's or whatever was worth it every time.
You're telling me. I love it.
Worth it every time. Yeah, man. Back to this quote. It really is amazing to see how you guys have, or how you, I should say, have just turned this, you know, some demos, some bedroom demos into this like really awesome band. And congratulations on, this is going to be what, your fourth album?
That's
pretty crazy. I mean, I guess probably being a garbage man in Jersey City with this amount of tenure, if you're 23, if you're 30 something now, you'd probably be making bank though.
I'd be a rich, smelly guy.
it must really be really smelly. Must be a really smelly.
Dude.
Tell me some stories from the garbage man days.
Oh yeah. It was, so it wasn't like by the city. It was that 1-800 got junk. Have you ever seen that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's expensive. So, I had a rental property and these students left a bunch of shit behind and I was like, oh fuck. And I called them. I called the junk, 1-800 got junk. I called you. I can't believe how expensive that is.
Oh yeah. I mean, I never reaped any of the benefits of the price. Bad story. Yeah, just there was kind of what you said. Yeah, mostly college kid cleanups, this, that, and the other thing. But yeah, one severe hoarder kind of lady.
Oh.
And yeah, her son finally moved her into a home kind of thing. And we were going through the house that she lived in for, you know, 40 something years. This was in North Jersey.
Oh man.
Oh man. This place was crawling, my friend. We had roaches. We had maggots. It was tough.
Oh, tough day.
One of those.
Yep. Don't miss that. Like sometimes the van. Sometimes the van gets a little messy. Like someone leaves an old burrito under the seat or something. That's the worst you have to deal with these days.
I think back to that day and I go, you know what, Greg, keep the burrito right there.
My guy. Well, shit. The new record, Thanks But No Thanks, is out now for the people when you're listening to this. Can't Swim is on tour with Free Throw all over the US. So go get tickets for that. What else to tell the people, Chris, before I let you get back to band practice?
Silverstein is my favorite band.
Really?
Shane is...
Wow.
Shane is a handsome Canadian man that I strive to be. Thank you very much for listening to our band all these years.
Of course, man.
I am happy to not be a garbage man anymore.
I am happy too that you're not a garbage man because I enjoy your work in the band much more than your Got Junk career, personally.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'll see that on the Reddit forums. I think he was a better garbage man, but.
All right. Well, I will leave the people with the tune. Here is a new one from Can't Swim, Nowhere, Ohio, on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Yeah.
And there it is, new music from Can't Swim Nowhere, Ohio. I guess Chris hates Ohio just like I do. No, I'm just kidding. Ohio is fine. You know, the Michigander in me, definitely, you know, there's a little bit of a rivalry there in case you you haven't noticed, or maybe you just don't follow sports. All good. I want to thank Chris so much for doing this, and I want to remind you guys, if you're still listening to this, to make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we've got a lot of guests coming up. It's going to be a fury of guests every week from here on out. We are back, baby. We are back. And I've decided I'm going to leave you with another Can't Swim tune, because why not? Here's another new one. Me versus all of y'all. Can't Swim on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.
Wake yourself up.
Maybe that one sucks.
Yeah, that bit does suck. Can't swim in this!